There you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Call to order. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
I am here.
Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusack?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty? Ms. Van Lightner?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein?
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. I need a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes for February 23rd.
I'll make the motion.
Colasardo, second.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Ms. Van Lightner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Minutes have passed.
And now Employee of the Month. And I can't think of anyone that is more deserving than this woman. Diane has been the utility collector for the borough hall since August 2019. When she came to the borough, she was already known to many of our residents, having worked at Valley National Bank for 23 years. Diane and her husband, Kevin, live in Kingsburg and have three children and six grandchildren that are all here, which is wonderful. Diane has been an asset to the borough from the start. She is the first person that residents see when they come to Borough Hall. You are. And she always welcomes them with a smile and a pleasant greeting. Diane goes the extra mile to ensure the residents' questions and concerns are addressed. Diane will be retiring at the end of April, which I know. So she certainly will be missed, and both the residents and the staff, and we all wish her all the best in her retirement. But for March, Diane, you are number one in our hearts. Leads me into our proclamation for women.
Okay.
So, recognizing March as National Women's History Month, whereas American women of every race, class, ethnic background have made historic contributions to the growth and the strength of our nation in countless recorded and unrecorded ways, and whereas American women have played and continue to play critical economic, cultural, and social roles in every sphere of life of the nation by constituting a significant portion of the labor force working inside and outside of the home. And whereas American women have played a unique role throughout the history of the nation by providing the majority of the volunteer labor force of the nation, And whereas American women were particularly important in the establishment of the early charitable, philanthropic, and cultural institutions in our nation. And whereas American women of every race, class, ethnic background served as early leaders in the front of every major progressive social change movement. And whereas American women have served our country courageously in the military, and whereas American women have been leaders not only in securing their own rights of suffrage and equal opportunity, but also in abolitionist movement, the emancipation movement, the industrial labor movement, the civil rights movement, and other movements, especially the peace movement, which created a more fair and just society for all. And whereas despite these contributions, the role of American women in history has been consistently overlooked and undervalued in the literature, teaching, and study of American history. And whereas the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress designate March as Women's History Month and call upon the people of the United States to observe March as Women's History Month with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands hereby recognize and celebrate the month of March as Women's History Month. Thank you.
Mayor, I just want to also point out that our very own borough attorney was highlighted in the state of New Jersey Women's History Month this week as the first female chair of the board of directors of the New Jersey State Bar Association.
Wow. Woo!
Wonderful. Congratulations. Now move on. There's no unfinished business, so we're going to have a workshop discussion, regionalization update from Matt Jacoby.
So Matt Jacoby is our special counsel for the regionalization matter, and he should be already logged on via Zoom. Doug, do you see him on there?
He's going to be up there shortly.
There he is.
There he is. Okay, so welcome, Mr. Jacoby. We have invited you this evening for you to provide an update to just let the community know where we are at in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we've agreed to do at this juncture is, as the public knows, the boards of ed are going forward with the referendum as to the regionalization of the three boards of ed. We've agreed with Porzio, Bromberg, and Newman, who's representing Highlands, to meet with the state mediator, who's the former Assistant Commissioner of Education, Head of Finance. The end of this month, we're going to be meeting at my Manawa office, along with their experts and our financial expert, Robert Beneke. And the purpose of this mediation, it might be one of several, is before there's any decision made on either regionalization, the regionalization of the three school districts, and or future regionalization, which would include Seabright, you want to come up with the formula and the methodology for sharing any savings generated by the regionalization for both the Borough of Highlands and the Borough of Atlantic Highlands. The legislation permits us to share in those savings, and so what we've done is we've retained Robert Beneke, who is a former CFO and an expert in municipal finance and education finance, to assist us in making sure that Atlantic Islands is well protected in this mediation process. Now, mediation isn't binding. Both parties have to come to an agreement, but we think that at this juncture, this is a good first step so we can get something in place. So should either of the regionalizations come to fruition, the allocation of the share of the cost savings will already be adjudicated between the two parties. And so at that meeting, we're going to have the council president, the mayor, the BA, myself, and our expert, and Atlantic Highlands will have the same thing, their attorney, their financial expert, their BA, their council president, and their mayor as well. And so, you know, we can update you in early April how that went. and whether or not there's going to be future meetings, but the goal here is to come up with an agreement that works for both municipalities, where both municipalities realize savings for their taxpayers as a result of the regionalizations. What I can tell you is the savings generated from regionalizing the three school districts has some savings, but the larger savings comes, or the larger savings will come if at a future date Seabright joins into this regional school district. That will have a greater financial impact positively on both Highlands and Atlantic Highlands. And so we're going to be looking at both of these components to come up with a methodology that works for both towns. So I hope that answers your questions. I don't know if the council has any questions of me.
So I would invite anyone at the dais, or if anyone from the community has any comments they'd like to make regarding this matter, now would be a great time to do that. But before we do that, I'd like to let Diane, our employee of the month, and her family know that you don't have to sit through this process moving forward if you don't want to, as exciting as it is for you. So, you know, if you want to stay, but...
Thank you.
Congratulations again,
everybody.
Very well deserved.
So, Mr. Ferragina, I think it would be helpful if Mr. Jacoby explains why that what we discussed when he wasn't here last time, why the Seabright School District is not involved, what the holdup is.
Did you hear that, Matt?
Not really.
If you could, sure. If you could describe what the holdup may have been at this point in time regarding Seabright's involvement and participation in this negotiation process, this meeting, this upcoming meeting.
I don't really think there's a holdup. I think that
a clarification as to why they're not participating in it.
The Seabright's. See, at this juncture, I think it'd be premature for Seabright to participate. And frankly, Seabright, there's litigation over the Seabright situation that's presently pending before, even when I say the Commission of Education, is actually pending in the Office of Administrative Law, and that's a challenge filed by both Oceanport and Shore Regional. So there's litigation that's being handled by the Forgio firm. Seabright is paying Porgio to represent basically all of us in that litigation, so we're not having myself actively participating in that litigation. But I think at this juncture, the reason that one other reason we're not having Seabright involved in it is that should, and first off, right now what's before us possibly is the regionalization of the three school systems, Highlands, Atlantic Highlands, and Henry Hudson Regionals. If they merge, savings is generated. So we're going to come up with a methodology to figure out how to allocate those savings between the two municipalities, Highlands and Atlantic Islands. We're also going to contemplate that, you know, should at a future date there is a separate petition, because that, again, there's litigation over that that's pending right now before the commissioner. There's also a pending petition. There's a lot of different things that have to overcome. But if at a future date Seabright's able to join this regional high school, should the voters vote to support it, then that methodology will have already been negotiated, and we don't have to waste time. It's already done. And frankly, for the petition before the commissioner to ultimately work, you have to share that methodology as part of the petition. So we have to come up with that allocation for the future date if and when Seabright ever joins. And all this, again, is premised upon, you know, if the voters of Highlands and the Black Islands don't vote to regionalize the three school systems, then there's nothing more to discuss. But if they do, it's a step in the right direction towards the regionalization. And I think it, frankly, you know, I don't think it's a bad idea for to do this in two steps. Let the voters tell us what they want, and then the voters again will be able to decide whether or not they want to allow Seabright in, should they vote to regionalize in the first instance.
Okay. Yeah, and I'd like to let everyone know that prior to that meeting on the 30th, we are going to meet myself, the mayor, council president, Matt, financial expert, and sit down at a table, just to make sure we are all on the same page prior to that, meeting on the 30th. So just out of an abundance of caution and preparation to do that. Does anyone at the dais have any comments regarding this matter? No? Anyone in the community have any comments? We'll start with Muriel, please.
Muriel Smith, 2900 Avenue. Good evening, Mr. Jacoby. Nice to see you. Could you tell me, are Land Highlands and Highlands working on the same figures when they're talking about this equal
say or
cost sharing?
No, actually, that's a good question. So that's why we have a financial expert. So when this all came about, you know that there's been two different studies. There was one study that the Porzio group initially put forward. It was their regionalization study that had different had numbers and projected savings. And then, as you know, the school boards retained King University, and they put forward numbers about the regionalization. And those numbers aren't exact. There's differences between the two. Now, I recommended that the Borough of Atlantic Highlands retain the services of Robert Beneke, who's well regarded throughout the state as a financial expert, to analyze those numbers. He has both reports, and give Atlantic Highlands guidance on what numbers should be utilized. And the reason that I recommend that is, I'm a lawyer, I'm not a financial expert, and I wanted to make sure, I wasn't about to rely on Highlands expert or the board's expert. You needed your own expert who was loyal to the borough of Atlantic Highlands. And that's what we're going to be going over. He has the numbers, he has some concerns with some of the numbers and projections that are contained in the report, and he's going to help us drill down so we get the appropriate numbers. And again, all these numbers, most of these numbers, as you know, come from public records. We know what the tax bases are, we know what the budgets are, etc., and that's what we're going to be analyzing with Bob Beneke.
So my question that of what figures you're going to be working with, you don't know what figures you're going to be working with yet. Correct on that?
Well, we haven't asked Robert Beneke to produce a specific report, but we will have figures that Robert Beneke will be presenting to us and on behalf of. So I don't have those numbers. Robert Beneke will.
And will, future tense. But that's the figures that Atlantic Highlands will have. Is he communicating with Highlands to see what figures Atlantic Highlands has? I was always of the opinion that figures don't lie. So I'm kind of surprised that we don't even know the figures that we're going to be working on at this
there's different interpretations, because if figures don't lie, one would have to posit why was the Kane University report and their projections different than Highlands experts' projections. So you have two alleged experts that are coming up with different projections on the projected savings. And again, these are projected savings that are generated. That's what we're talking about. And so, you know, there's variables that you can't ultimately predict when you're coming up with projected savings. But that's why Robert Beneke is looking at both of those reports and giving us guidance on what, in his expert opinion, is the most accurate methodology to come up with. So just because there are reports doesn't mean that they're accurate. And that's the concern. I wasn't comfortable negotiating or mediating on behalf of Atlantic Highlands without having your own financial expert, independent of the Porzio expert and independent of the board's expert, providing us with guidance.
Is there a difference between potential savings and cost sharing? I know you're not a financial attorney, but do you know that?
The cost sharing, so let's just use a hypothetical. If there is a merger and the voters vote to combine the three schools.
The three schools. And that three generates. Schools or the three towns?
What's that?
Are you talking about the three schools or the three towns?
The three schools.
two towns.
That's correct. Three schools, two towns.
Okay.
If the taxpayers vote to consolidate the three schools, and let's just hypothetically say that that consolidation generates $500,000 in savings over what the current spend is from the two towns, that money can then be, you have the right to do a cost sharing. So you're sharing in the savings that's generated by the regionalization. That's the methodology that has to be mediated between Hounds and Atlantic Hounds. In the future, should Seabright join, there'll be additional savings generated. It's actually, in that case, it's not additional savings for us. Seabright will be paying into the system to participate, and those monies need to be shared. And so that's what we're talking about, is how do we come up with the allocation of monies that will be shared between Highlands and Atlantic Highlands for the benefit of the collective taxpayers. The whole goal is to reduce costs for taxpayers in a more efficient model. And that's why we have our financial expert to provide us with that guidance. Do I think we're going to have a mediated agreement on the 30th of March? I do not. I think this is going to take some discussions and going back and having the experts sharpen their pencils. And, you know, my job, and I do a lot of mediation in my job. My job is to help mediate on behalf of you with Highlands to come up with a very fair and equitable system that your taxpayers benefit from. And that's what we're doing.
Are you aware, or do you know whether Mr. Benefee is aware that of the explanations that were given by two financial gurus here in Atlanta Highlands at the last meeting? One is a councilman in Seabright, and one is a former councilman and a former mayor in Atlanta Highlands. Are you familiar? Have you been given those figures?
I have not. I'm relying on the reports that the attorneys are using in these cases. So I have not seen those figures.
So to the council, may I recommend that the figures that both Mr. Harmon and Mr. Beaver spoke about at the last meeting be given to your financial expert so that he at least knows. They seemed to make sense last week. They seemed to agree 2 weeks ago. They seemed to agree on everything. And it didn't
well,
seem like
if they've generated a report and they've provided the Atlantic Highlands Council with a report of their findings. We're glad, happy to share that with Robert Bennett. Robert Bennett also is looking at all of the financial data and all the tax data from both municipalities. He's doing an analysis of that as well. So the more information you can provide Robert Bennett, the better it is.
I would forward that.
If you would, I would appreciate that. It would seem, they seem to make a lot of sense, and it seemed kind of easy. And I'm surprised that you know, the people don't know about it yet. See, is it going to be, I know you're meeting together, which I think is a terrific idea, so you're all on the same page when you go into mediation. Is there any possibility that you're going to meet with Highlands informally before you go into this mediation?
We're going to be marching in the parade with Highlands.
At this time, there's no scheduled meeting.
Great outfit.
Do you think you're going to be talking to each other while you're walking in the parade?
We may be getting to an area of open public meetings act.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to discuss the resolution of things except in public or with their counsel at a mediation. So
you can discuss the parade though, Ms. Chamber, I'm sure.
Well, it depends. If it's one-on-one, I suppose they can talk to each other, depending on what they're, yeah.
I imagine they're going to be talking to each other about this at that time. It just seems to me that we're making a great big mountain out of a molehill. You've got two towns that are friendly, that like each other, that can communicate with each other on a regular basis. And I know a little bit about mediation, not certainly as much as Mr. Jacoby does, but I do know a little bit about mediation, and the first thing is communication.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can communicate with each other, then you can have the solutions. But for you to have a financial expert and because Mr. Jacoby has been telling us all along that he is certainly not. But, so that's a good thing. It's kind of late coming into the picture, I think, but it's better late than never. But I would think an informal conversation with Highlands might help you get mediation off to a quicker start. It's terrifying that Mr. Jacoby is saying now that he doesn't expect this to end in March. So, we're talking about, this is going to go on forever, or can we ever, Mr. Jacoby?
I think you're misquoting. I don't think we'll be done in one mediation session.
That's, I said by March 30th. That's what I thought.
We're meeting on March 30th.
Right, and you don't think it'll be done in that meeting.
So, and we've already had discussions. We had a conference call with Highlands and their council. And this is what Highlands and Atlantic Highlands, the governing body, the mayor and council president and attorneys and BAs recommended and got approval on. So this is the process that we're going to follow. Because again, I think that there's definitely a willingness on both boroughs to come up with a workable solution, and come up with something that's thoughtful and fair for all the taxpayers. So, having informal discussions, I'm sure there's been discussions, no one's being dragged into this. Mediation is a voluntary process. So we're not being ordered to go here. We're volunteering to go here with Highlands, and so are they, to come up with something that's workable. So there's definitely a willingness on both sides. And I think that's probably 90% of the battle when you're getting into a mediation. Can you come up with something that's agreeable when both sides are interested in coming up with such an agreement?
Do you think it's possible, and this is just conjecture, but do you think it's possible as an attorney that this can be resolved in time to put a question on the ballot in November?
I think there are two separate things. The question on the ballot, that can go on. The question on the ballot for the regionalization of the three school systems, that's in the school board's court. That's up to them. This has more to do with if it happens and it's approved, how is the money, if money is saved, how is those savings allocated between the two towns? So this mediation will not, in my estimation, any way thwart the school board's efforts to have a vote to regionalize the three school systems. That's separate apart. This is important to get done so that we can notify the Commissioner of Education on a future petition. There's a petition already filed, as you know, that Porzio filed on behalf of everyone with the Commissioner. That petition has to have the allocation in there should Seabright join in. That's, we need to negotiate that as well. So if your question's about the vote for the regionalization of the three schools, that can happen, and whether or not we have this mediation, whether or not we have an agreement.
I'm sorry if I don't repeat myself, but are you saying that the mayors and council, because regionalization, whatever happens, is going to involve money and it's going to involve the taxpayers, but it's the schools that make the decision of what the question is going to be on the ballot, and the mayors and councils cannot put the question on the ballot? Am I correct?
That's not what I said. Right now,
that's why I
asked. As you know, it seems like we're going around and around. I think it's well known in your community that the three school boards got together and said, we're going to pursue this on our own, and we're going to put a question on the ballot about the regionalization of the schools. That's being handled by the schools.
Right.
So the schools have the right to go forward and do that. And that's what, based on my discussions with their attorney, Jonathan Bush, that's what they're doing. So that's within their purview to do.
I understand that. My question is, cannot the mayors and councils put a question on the ballot?
With regard to
the
schools, I mean, there's a whole legislation that we are talking about. Because remember, we're trying to work cooperatively with the school boards and the towns, and at the time, Seabright, to come up with a question to regionalize the schools and Seabright into it. To do that, the Mayor and Council could put a question on the ballot through that legislation, but that's not how they were pursuing it. So right now, I'm not going to speculate. What I know of and what I've been told by Jonathan Bush, the attorney for the boards, is that the school boards are going to be pursuing on a ballot question the regionalization of three schools.
Mr. Jacoby, it's John Crowley. Just one thing, point of clarification. It's my understanding that in regard to a ballot measure, that's put forward by the Department of Education, A, B, no disagreement over that, but that this mediation has got to arrive at a funding formula and a saving share formula, and that has to be put forward to the superintendent of the Department of Education, and she or he needs that before it can go on a ballot. Just point of clarification.
Right, yes. That's the petition that's pending with Seabright to join into that, and you're correct. And if you remember, when the petition was filed by Corzio on behalf of Seabright, Highlands and Atlantic Highlands and the school districts, the formula on that petition, if you look at it, it's blank because that was, has not yet been agreed to. So that's what we're coming up with, that formula. But that formula is useful whether it's just the regionalization of the three schools or in the future that regionalization also includes Seabright joining in.
And may I,
frankly, any other school district that wants to join in the future.
Right, exactly. Good point. May I ask a favor that sometime before the 30th, the Keene, since we're talking about numbers, Ms. Smith mentioned numbers, the Keene people had put together the calculator that everybody was using, and then over the course of exploratory conversations, that calculator was evolving as they discovered more things. So I'm wondering if before the 30th, if you or Mr. Beneke can reach out to Keene to see if they ever finished that configuration of the latest iteration of the calculator, just as a point of interest to see how it may line up with Mr. Beneke's numbers, please.
Yeah, well, we can't reach out to Keene University because they're experts that have been retained by the school boards through Jonathan Bush, but I can reach out to Jonathan Bush, their legal counsel, and see if he's able to provide us any updated calculator by Keene.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Mr. Harmon. Yep. Yes, Mr. Harmon, please.
My name is Mike Harmon, and I've been doing some studying. I'm an accountant, but I've been doing some studying of the situation. And what I've noticed, I've read through all the reports, of course, the Corzio report and the Keene report, and one thing, I don't understand how you could be going to a mediation without having our numbers already in place. And let me just say this. When Keene released all their information, they did not release the enrollment numbers for the schools. When Corzio did their figures, they did not release the enrollment figures, particularly from the regional high school. And if we're going to do any kind of formula, shared formula that has a share of equalized values and enrollment, those numbers should have been released. And I'm not blaming you, but I've been asking for those for about a year. And I figured with 56 or whatever it is, number of officials involved in this thing, we would have those numbers before 2 weeks before a mediation. I filed Oprah last week. I got one year so far from Henry Hudson. I have not gotten the rest of it. As far as I know, there is no public record of the enrollment at regional schools. You have to go directly to the school, which is what, of course, you have to go to every report. As far as the sharing is, the other thing I don't understand is it seems to me that when Keene did their report, Seabright was more or less an afterthought in the situation. So they did not produce what I would call the native numbers. And the native numbers are the enrollments, the source, the equalized values, the source, which are the next, and the tax levies. They use, there's different numbers out there. From what I've seen, both Corzio and Keene use something called the director's table, the Monmouth County director's table. Well, that's just an estimate of the equalized values for the following year. I think we should be using the actual equalized values that are put out by one of the tenants. Because the equalized values, there are numbers all over the map. I'm shocked when I go through between the state, the schools, even the county, because the rest, there's some estimates. So I know this is a new thing as far as the regionalization goes, but I would think that we should use the historical equalized values for coming up with the numbers. Secondly, I think all the historical numbers should be agreed upon. I understand that when we get to projections of where, you know, the enrollment might be 3 years from now, that's, you know, the experts will figure that out. And I like the reports. I thought they were very good. But the historical, at least for the last 5 years, should be agreed on by everyone that's involved. That way, when these formulas are done, they can be replicated by anyone. Right now, they cannot be replicated. And I think that is a massive failure on the part of this whole process. And it's undermining, I think, the ability to get this regionalization done, which I am 100% for, by the way.
Mrs. Clark, do you know Mr. Harmon's, Mayor Harmon's house number on Bonnie Ray?
33.
Okay.
Any questions? There was a lot of questions there and a lot of comments, but I don't really think it's, you can really get this down to like 2 pages on the formula sharing aspect of it if you do the numbers, but then you got to manipulate the numbers, you know, the percentages, the way they did. The last time, Portel came up with 95.5, which I thought was bizarre. And then there was an 88.12, then there was an 85.15, mm-hmm. and then there was a 72.28 put out by King. But remember this, that's always leaving Seabright, as far as I can tell, out of the mix, as far as enrollment. And I don't know how they came up with those numbers, because they're comparing Atlantic Highlands and Highlands. And if you look at the formulas that they're doing, or look at them, what they have there, it's not clear that the enrollment for the three schools and the equalized values for the three towns are being used properly. I don't know. Maybe they are, but they also used each Kane used 1 year's equalized values, and I think the mayor of Highlands was talking about this. And for 1 year, I think it was 2021, and Corzio used the same number for 2022. So they weren't even on the same page of each year for the equalized value. So I think that's, I know it's awful, but it's, I brought someone with you. I'll be happy to drop more, I'm happy to email you some of these numbers. But someone's got to have these statistics.
And Mr. Harmon, we were going to forward your information to Bob Beneke.
Well, that's great. It's mm-hmm. changed since then, mm-hmm. because now I've got...
These are newer? These are revised, Mike?
These are the actual, some of the numbers. I was trying to sort out towards the end of the year. And finally, I just kind of gave up. I couldn't reconcile mm-hmm. the two of them.
And so if you have it in electronic format...
Right now, just so you guys know, I'm looking at the state website. If you go to the state DOE, they have enrollment data figures. And they're always a year behind, because what they do is they count enrollment as of October 15th. Mm-hmm. But right now, looking here, here's what the enrollment figures, the Henry Hudson Regional for 21-22, total enrollment was 296.5 children. Highlandsboro was 177, and Atlantic Highlands was 258. So those are the enrollment figures as of the 21-22 school year. They're always a year behind. So Bob Beneke is a creature of numbers. He will use the appropriate data from the county, looking at the different tax rates, etc., and these numbers are available. And I think you have to remember the reason that, and I've said this before when I was here in the public, I went to law school because I'm a fairly good writer. I didn't go to medical school because math and science aren't my forte. And so the Porzio report. So what is the Porzio report? The Porzio report was drafted by experts. who are seeking to bring Seabright into the mix. The Kane University, that was retained by the three school boards. So I want to have Bob Beneke look at all this, which he's been doing, and be able to challenge various assumptions that were in those reports and challenge the numbers. So I can tell you just from our conversations with the, you know, the 85-15, the 82, all the different variations, the one factor when you talk about Seabright, what complicates it is Seabright, if they're able to join into a regional district encompassed within Highlands and Lake Highlands, they have what's known as withdrawal liability. They have to pay Oceanport and Shore Regional monies as they withdraw. So their taxpayers, the savings that they'll ultimately achieve will take several more years because of the withdrawal liability. And that's why there's you know, disagreements about what is the allocation of the monies, because Seabright is going to have to not only pay to participate in a regional school district with Highlands and Lake Highlands, but they're going to have to pay withdrawal liability. And that's a factor that has to ultimately come into what is the total savings generated by this, because the withdrawal liability reduces the savings in the initial years. And we also need to have somebody to be able to look at this, because eventually their withdrawal liability ends and there'll be more savings. That's frankly why I recommended to the mayor, council, and the BA that having an independent financial expert look at all this and provide guidance so that we get these numbers right. I was not comfortable relying on either of the expert reports because, as just the gentleman said, they're both different. They both have a different take on it. And, you know, I don't know if they were, you know, done just kind of black and white plain vanilla. There might have been a little bit of advocacy in there.
Can I ask you one more question, sir? What was that enrollment figure you got for what year?
I'm looking at it right now. I just went on. So you can go to the New Jersey Department of Education website.
Right.
And on the website, I can tell you, I'll back out of it. The enrollment figures. Right now, the latest enrollment figures that the state has is for the 21-22 school year. So right now, we're in the 22-23 school year.
Right.
So it's last year.
Right.
The enrollment figures, I'm looking at it, so it's a spreadsheet you have to download.
Okay.
258 Atlantic Highlands. That's total student enrollment.
Okay.
Let me go down. Henry Hudson Regional, 296.5. Now you can have a half a kid, but apparently you can. And finally, Highlands, 177.
Okay. I'm looking at the audited financial statement for Henry Hudson. They put out. And they have, and maybe it's a minor difference, they have from that same period 303.
And how much?
303.
That might be, so what that could be, sir, and I'd have to dig down these numbers a little bit further.
Right.
The 296 versus the 303, that delta could be children who are in out-of-district placement. So they're not actually enrolled in Henry Hudson School for an enrollment figure, but they are the responsibility of the regional budget if they're doing an out-of-district placement. I'm speculating, but that's my guess.
Do we have any other comments? Nope.
And okay. By the way, the website you go to, just so you know, if you go to the New Jersey Department of Education, you can click on data and reports, and under data and reports, go to schools, and they have fall enrollment reports. And in the 2021 enrollment district report card, you can click on a zip file called enrollment 2122, and that breaks it down to the specific districts.
Why not just get the enrollment from the schools? Isn't that the best way to do it? I mean, you're saying before it's an estimate. I'll get the actual enrollment, the historical part.
But sir, just so you understand, The state of New Jersey uses October 15th as the cutoff. The reason being is enrollments change all the time. Kids move in, kids move out. A child could be in the district and then needs to go on out-of-district placement. So enrollment figures do change. And the one variable that I think we all have to just be cognizant of is that with the third round of affordable housing that's gone on, you know, with affordable housing being built, there's projections that enrollments could increase in various school systems. And in 2025, we go into the fourth round of affordable housing. So these are all factors that you have to look at in terms of trying to see what enrollments are and then project enrollments. And that's why school districts bring in demographers to, you know, look at what are housing starts, what are the birth rates, what are upcoming developments that have been approved that are in the pipeline. All of that goes into the demographic studies to give school districts a guidance on where their enrollment is going. So I'm just going out. You said that this doesn't. You didn't know where to find it. I'm just telling you, these are figures I just looked up at while I was on this call with you. It's on the state website. But you're right, go to the school district and say, what's your enrollment today? And the audited financials are at the end of the year. So the audited financials are as of June 30th, 2022. These figures are as of October 15th, 2021. So from October 21 to June 30th, 2022, you could have a deviation of, you know, 5 or 6 students.
Respectfully, I understand everything you're saying about demographics and projections going forward. To me, history is history. You can't have 2 histories. You have X amount of kids in the school. You know, whatever it is. But the October number is all projections. I'm saying, I think it would be better off to use the actual historical values. That's all.
The October 15th are our projections. That's what the school reports as of October 15th each year. These are the number of kids we have enrolled. So as of October 15th, 2021, those are the actual numbers that were enrolled in those 3 school systems. Now, as of June 30th, that could change 6 months later, 7 months later.
No, it's actually an estimate that has right on their records. If you look at the user-friendly budget that both schools put out, whatever they're doing the following year, October 15th, and the equalized value, by the way, is an estimate as well. They're using the estimate as of October 15th for the equalized values for next year. They're using the estimate of the students for the following year, as you said, but it's an estimate. It says right on there.
I'm not looking at the user-friendly worksheets. I'm looking at the report that the state puts out on student enrollment.
The user-friendly statistics come from the state, and it says right on it, estimate.
Okay.
In the current year, I'm just saying. Thank you.
Okay. If there aren't any other comments regarding this matter, we'll move on to the agenda. Anybody online?
No hands raised online.
All right.
Yeah, Mr. Jacoby.
Thank you.
Mr. Jacoby, thank you for your time.
Now moving on to public comment on consent and regular agenda items. And how many people do we have on Zoom at this point?
14 attendees.
Okay, thank you. Any comments? Okay. So, consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 52, approving refund of overpayment of water sewer fees. Resolution 53, approving amendment to shared service agreement. 54, authorizing shared service for public safety answering point. 55, awarding contract for summer fireworks display. 56, payment of bills, $983,220.71. Resolution 57, awarding engineering services for improvements to East Garfield and Grand Avenue. I need a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
And questions? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Corrali?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Helen Leitner? Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
I think Noel Bryant threw you off.
Just threw me off.
Okay. So, now I need a motion and a second to go into public hearing for ordinance 5, illegal dumping.
Corrali moves.
Colasardo seconds.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. This is on the illegal dumping. Anyone from the public? Anyone on Zoom? Okay, since I see no hands, I need a motion.
Corrali moves.
And a second?
Colasardo seconds.
Okay, and now, since we're out, and now I need another motion and a second.
Corrali moves.
This is round 3. Colasardo seconds.
Okay, now roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
That'll be a yes.
Mr. Corrali?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Ms. Helen Leitner?
Yes, but I'm curious about the pumpkins.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 5, 2023 has passed.
Wonderful.
So pumpkins is a new program that we started this year. It was actually the idea of our director of public works, which I thought was a very good idea, so we authorized it, which was to allow the public to bring their pumpkins to the yard so that they can be recycled, brought somewhere where they can be broken down into the earth as opposed to thrown into the garbage mix. So, and it worked out very well this year, and I think it's something that we'll do moving forward.
Okay, thank
but
you.
It's on the prohibited list.
No, it's on. It should be on the first list. There's two lists.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now reports. Councilman Colasardo.
All right. No update on fire. There is a meeting on this upcoming Monday, so I should have something for our next meeting. There was a shade tree meeting last night. As I've noted in prior reports, there are efforts being made to make Earth Day / month really special. They're finalizing who their speaker will be on Earth Day, which is April 22nd. The location for that speaker is still up in the air, but there's a likelihood that it'll be at the Arts Council. There's also a plan to have an Arbor Day tree planted. Discussions last night focused around it being an oak tree. There were considerations as to where this oak tree will be planted. The leader in the clubhouse seems to be Many Mind Avenue Park, which, by the way, is a must visit. In addition to planting a tree, the Shade Tree Commission also has a poster contest that is being held at the grammar school for grades, I think it's first through sixth grade. The theme that they will be making posters about is wild about trees in Atlantic Highlands. So I'm hoping that we will see a bunch of happy trees on poster board for Arbor Day. And then what else did we talk about? This is a long meeting yesterday. The tribute trees. The tribute tree plaque project still moves on. They've started planting a couple trees. I know there's a tree that's been planted for Bernie Sweeney. And what will happen is you'll be able to scan a QR code, and it's going to take you to the exact location. Well, it'll take you to the website, which will give you a biography about the person who the tree is tributed to. It's really cool. Fred Callis, one of the members of the committee, showed us a printout of what the actual biography will look like when you go to the website, and it's really impressive. It has a biography, the picture. I'm really pumped up about it. And then there were also discussions about doing a Lenape Woods cleanup at some point in the next couple months, which leads me to my next report, which is the Environmental Commission, which held a meeting on February 22nd, on 28th, I'm sorry. Big thanks to Morgan Spicer for running the meeting in place of Chair Blake Deacon, who was unable to attend. I also want to give Morgan credit for bringing up the Lenape Woods cleanup idea. I think it's a great idea. We do ocean cleanups through Clean Ocean, the Clean Ocean organization. I don't see why we wouldn't also clean up Lenape Woods. I know when I take my dog for a walk, I peek in, I often see debris there. I think it would be a great community effort to clean that up, and it's desperately needed in my opinion. There were further discussions about what to do about Earth Month, which is obviously a running theme here. There's a plan to plant dune grass at the Avenue A beach. And there are also discussions about doing another QR code campaign where you'll be walking around town. There might be posts in and around town where you'll be able to scan the QR code, and it'll give you information about the rising sea level. So it'll be really informative, really education, which I think is important during Earth Month. And then lastly, I'm going to talk about recreation. There's still a job posting for the summer recreation director position. Go to AHNJ, apply, or get your application to Mr. Farragina. He will vet everyone. I trust he will do an excellent job. Let's get that job filled. Not related to the borough, but I think it's a good thing to bring up, even though we have no affiliation. On March 16th, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., faculty from Henry Hudson will be scooping Anchor Down ice cream at Nicholas to support the Henry Hudson school. If you're wondering, Anchor Down ice cream is homemade vanilla ice cream with crushed peanut butter cups and fudge swirl. Does not come with a defibrillator. Lastly, be on the lookout for summer basketball signups for kids in kindergarten through fifth grade. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilman Crowley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll just add one thing to the recreation report, which is at our next mayor and council meeting on March 23rd, we're going to have a workshop presentation made by Coach Whitehead, who is the chair of the Recreation Committee, in regard to the Sports Connect app that we discussed 2 weeks ago. So they'll present to the council why they think that we should move forward with that. Ms. Schaefer, if I know we mentioned it last or 2 weeks ago, if you can please distribute the contract to everybody that's on council so they can review it, because I know some had mentioned that they wanted to take a look at that Sports Connect contract, or Mr. Farragina, if you can, that would be great, in advance of the workshop so everybody can review that. I, as of today, wrote a draft resolution in the event we want to approve signing the contract for this application. I forwarded that to Mr. Farragina. Mr. Farragina, I think, passed that to you, Ms. Schaefer, so you can take a look at it, add on to it, tweak it, put it into good form, so that if we do want to move forward with that, we can do so that night without delay. Because as you heard, Mr. Colasorto, we have a lot of things coming down the pike for recreation. DPW, since this is a new department that I'm working with, I always, whatever I do, I try to immerse myself in what's going on and see how it functions, see if there's any needs from that department that I can be their voice here at council. So I took a field trip last week on a regularly scheduled ride to the dump. So I will tell you that hats off to the staff that makes that run out to the dump, because it is a backbreaker when you're in one of those big trucks. I mean, I was worn out by the end of that trip. It's 45 minutes going out, 45 minutes coming back in. And we like to think that the heights of Atlantic Highlands, I think it's 260 feet, the highest point on the eastern seaboard, all the way from here down to the Yucatan Peninsula, is dwarfed by what you see at that landfill. I have never seen anything like it. It's 900 acres. It stretches almost as far as the eye can see. And there are mountain after mountain of trash. And you're riding up one of these trunks, bouncing up and down one of these heavy trunks. And you are halfway up and you realize, I'm not on a mountain. This is a mountain of trash, and you start to see it peeking through the soil, you know, that they bring in, they truck into cover, and they big back these big trucks up right to the edge, and then they tip them, and then there are other bulldozers that push it down, and it's covered over, and it's quite a process. We have 900 acres. This landfill was begun in 1979. 290 are approved for landfilling. I think as of yesterday or maybe today, the permit was approved to expand the landfilling because what they're working on right now will fill up in 5 years. The new expansion that I think was granted will give them another 35 years. But it is eye-opening to see the amount of trash that we all produce. Just from our town, our load that we went out with, I believe, was 2 tons. So the ordinance that I wrote that was just passed today, that's a small step in trying to help this town because we have a big problem with illegal dumping. There are people that come from out of town. They know that we don't charge our residents to dump at their belongings at our recycling yard, and we have a lot of people that abuse that. And so now we've given some teeth to our DBW and also AHPD to go after the abusers. Because we are generating at a furious rate. It's getting better, of course, but it's eye-opening. That dump, by the way, accepts up to 1,500 tons of trash per day. And that's that for DPW. First Aid Squad. Hats off to Lance Hubany, who's here tonight. You got 40 in attendance last 2 weeks ago for your CPR training. So thank you very much for doing that. That was free of charge to anybody that wanted to go and get that training. Licensing, I think there was a small fee, but you were doing that for free. Thank you. And I want to also just reiterate that on the 23rd, Lance and some of his team are going to be back down at the Senior Center for Atlantic Highlands Presents, which will be a workshop on how to put together your own first aid kit, which will be really great. And I will tell you, let you in on a secret, that the first 100, God, I hope we could get 100, but I'll be happy with 30 or 40. But for the first 100, there's a free digital thermometer in it for anybody that's attending. So it's a good way to get your first aid kit started. But Lance, thank you to you and your staff in advance for putting that on. That'll start at 6:30 at the Senior Center down in the marina. I'll also tell you the First Aid Squad, from January 1st until March 9th, First Aid Squad this year did 28 calls. In 2022, there were only 10 calls that were answered. So you guys have tripled the number of calls year to year. So thank you for that. Great stuff. Thank you. And I'll tell you that also up to March 9th, there's already, from March 1st to March 9th, there's already been 5 calls so far, and that's double the number of calls that we answered last year. So thank you again for all of that. I don't know how you guys do it, actually. You go to work, and then you get a call at 4 in the morning, and out on the road you go to go to help our fellow residents. So thank you. It's a lot of work. Our police department report. First Avenue, Grand, and Ocean remain the most active streets for radar traffic stops. First Avenue had 8 stops, Ocean 5, Grand Avenue 3, radar details. No applications, though, were received for the Special 2 officer, so I think it's closed, but if you know of somebody, I'm sure you could probably reach out to the police department and let them know that there's still an opening. Is that correct? Okay, very good. It's open till it's not open. Also, tip of the cap, Chief, to you and your crew. February 21st, you assisted the FBI in apprehending a suspect that had an outstanding warrant, and they've been shipped down to jail. And were they extradited? Is that what I... Yep, they went south. Very good. So thank you for that. Lots of training going on, Alka-Test, search and seizure, rapid deployment, active shooter training, a lot of training for all the officers last month. Last thing I'll read, for the month of February, there were over 1,300 calls for service, including 28 first aid and fire calls, and they investigated 5 motor vehicle crashes. And there were 10 arrests for the month, and you guys sound incredibly busy, and we appreciate everything you do. And Mayor, that's it.
Thank you. Councilwoman Cusack.
Okay. I want to give a thanks to Mr. Farangino and Mr. Flieger. I spoke to him about a public address system in the senior building and Toot Suite. It was taken care of. Thank you very much. That's wonderful. And that'll be helpful for anybody who's using the building. It's not just for the seniors. Thank you very much. No meeting this month for the seniors club due to the painting of the building, much needed painting of the building. It'll be out on the inside. It should look nice. And lastly, on seniors, I'm working with the Borough Hall to get the Senior Citizens Committee actually on the website, and then we'll be putting some resources for the seniors to be able to utilize once we get that all set up. And I'm derelict in getting that mission statement to you, so I will get that to you shortly. Under emergency management, just want to know, I get regular notifications, which a number of people do get, concerning things that are happening from an emergency perspective, and one came out just today concerning potential coastal flooding related this weekend related to high tide cycles. So it's one of those things that it's helpful to see. I'm glad that people get that on a regular basis. Also on emergency management, the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness is offering some free courses on two things right now called Surviving Active Threat and also Natural Disaster Awarenesses. This is for community leaders, but anybody in the community can look on the website on the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness if you're interested in taking any of those courses. And lastly, the Veterans Affairs Committee, very active committee. We're very excited. One of Regina's on it with me and has just been appointed chair. The committee is actively working on the bios for the 14 killed in action that are actually on the memorial at Veterans Park. We're really looking for bios, and anybody have information related to that. I want to give a shout out to the Atlantic Highlands Historical Society. Have been very helpful, and they gave us a book that's about this thick of all of the veterans from Atlantic Highlands from World War I and World War II. Unfortunately, some of the names are missing, so we have pictures of the military from those two wars, but we don't have all their names, and we're trying to match them up. And I'm going to be working with the senior group also, because some of them may remember some of the people, maybe their fathers or their mothers. There are four or five women in it. It was interesting to see. If we can identify the pictures of the kills in action, it will be included in our presentation for them. And lastly, committee's also working on getting current and potential resources and Navy work and benefits for veterans that we may be able to utilize in the community. We were hoping that some of the local businesses may be able to give veterans discounts and some other ideas that we're bouncing around. It's a very active committee and very happy to be with them. That's all. Thank you.
Councilwoman Holmaya.
Hi, Mayor. Thank you. Briefly. Just one, I'll report on a little bit of the harbor and then Mr. Murphy will finish, but we do have an update on the ongoing litigation regarding the towboat building. Our attorney, Mr. Cannon, in executive session was able to provide us with an update and ask for direction moving forward. He then reported to the public that there are different ways to approach how we would try to recover any of the funding that we've had to put into the building to make the repairs so that the building is functional at this time, but he is actively investigating ways to recover that funding. Also, Tuesday is the annual budget presentation from our financial advisors. Mr. Murphy, Mr. Dougherty, and I will be in attendance along with Mr. Farragina and some department heads. We look forward to hearing those presentations. We know that with inflation that there's a lot of hard work that's gonna go into making this budget the best for Atlantic Highlands, and we're gonna make sure that we invest in our community so that we're not in a place where we have to come up with emergency repairs on really necessary infrastructure items. The sea bass season has been extended into October as per Mr. Krause, which is exciting. It's extra days where we're not just fishing porgies. I don't know if that was in your report, so I'm sorry if I stepped on that.
We need to tell you what a porgy is.
Also for Shade Tree, Mr. Pelzer gave a great report. We're looking forward to Arbor Day, and the municipality and the green team, and this is how it relates to Shade Tree, are looking forward to coordinating as much efforts on Earth Day. So thank you to everyone who's been helping to do that. Personnel, we are really going to miss Diane. but that position that we're currently interviewing to replace her, and I know that I was there when one of the people called, so I know that those are in place. As mentioned at our last meeting, Mr. Farragina's review was held last Monday before I was in Albuquerque. I've been on a work trip for like a week. It was a really positive dialogue, and we did incorporate the comments that members of the public had given at the previous meeting, talking about how easy it is to work with him. So the mayor and I are going to have a meeting, and then the finance committee and I will have a meeting about just, we want to make sure that we have a record in the personnel file for all of our borough employees, and we're really creating this process for the VA now, and thank you, Mr. Farragina, for being so open and cooperative in that meeting. A reminder that the rabies free clinic is March 15th. That is open not just to residents of Atlantic Highlands. All are welcome, as per Ms. Clark today, so that's very welcoming and welcome. I know I have a dog that's less than a year old, so my two older dogs can get licensed because they're not within the year, but I'm consulting with my vet to see if it's okay to give my baby dog her another rabies shot right now, because they give us a smaller dose. But we're looking at, I know Freehold Borough had passed recently a three-year dog licensing ordinance. They've made amendments to it for both dogs and cats, so we're going to look into that for Atlantic Highlands because it allows for more flexibility. And then just adding on to Mr. Crowley's report on the police, I got to see the police explorers set off on their trip to Highlands today to meet with the FBI, and that was exciting. They were ready to go, and I know Chief Reinert's really proud of that program and how Stabby's been running that. And also, we've been doing a good job of working through the permit process for the parking in Atlantic Highlands, and it turns out that right now, where we had thought that there were 120 plus parking permits for the lot behind First Avenue, we're at 89, I think 89 right now. He said close to 90, I think. I read every word of your report. So it was 89 that have been filed so far this year. So that's less than we expected. And thank you for the enforcement on that, Chief Reinert. You're doing a great job with that department. I hope you get your special, because I know that you've been being able to do so many more traffic stops because you have that special two officer that's able to handle the bank drops, et cetera. So you're really running a solid department. Thank you for that. I think that's it.
Okay.
I left your stuff, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't have a whole lot to add to the Harbor Report, just that some leases were renewed. If you are a fan of Sissy's, good news, that lease was renewed. If you are a fan of On the Deck, stand by. That one's still pending. Just to add a little bit to the recreation, our Easter egg hunt is going to be a little bit different this year. It's going to be held April 8th. Between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. The location will be at the harbor this year, and we're going to be doing things a little bit different as far as how they hunt for the eggs. We're going to be covering them up with big bales of hay, big hay piles, and the kids will get to rifle through them and try to find those eggs. It should be exciting. There will be some golden tickets. The prizes will be I think everybody will be happy with the prizes and golden tickets, but we'll talk more about that as we get closer. As far as the one thing I want to add is the first aid report, the chief is here, that small nominal fee, was that just for the card? If somebody registered or went through the process of acquiring their first aid certification, they'd have to pay to get the card. It's a small $25 fee. Okay. All right. What else can we say? Jumping over to DPW, just a couple things to add to that. This Saturday is the monthly bulk pickup for zones 1 and 4. Last Saturday, zones 2 and 4 were completed. As a reminder, concrete and metal items will not be picked up. On recycling pickup days, please make sure that you are tying up your cardboard and paper products into bundles, or that you are breaking down the cardboard and putting into boxes that are secured. Otherwise, the wind blows the items away and it makes a mess all over the borough. Quick reminder, have the last few council meetings, we have a change to the borough recycling schedule, and I'm going to remind you guys as often as I can until it sticks. The borough is going to an every other week recycling pickup schedule. Instead of the first and third, or the second and fourth Wednesday, the first time this will take effect will be the fifth Wednesday in March, as this will be the first fifth Wednesday in 2023. In the past, there was no residential pickup on the fifth Wednesday. As some may have noticed, the outside of Borough Hall, the DPW newly acquired Tahoe, was at the Monmouth County Vehicle Services for paintwork. It looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. The unit was retired Atlantic Highlands police vehicle and has been repurposed to the DPW. The borough used the shared service program between the Atlantic Highlands and Monmouth County. The vehicle is on display, as I mentioned earlier, in front of Borough Hall. Feel free to check that out. One last reminder, zone-by-zone brush pickup starts in April. Please note, please do not put any material in the roadway until 5 days prior to your zone's pickup. And Councilwoman, I just have a quick thing to add to the Veterans Report. If any of our residents know of family members that were in these wars, would they be, is there an email address that they could reach out and say, maybe we could look at some of these pictures and identify?
Sounds like
do you have an email address that we could read out, or? You know that offhand. I don't recall.
veteranaffairs@ahn.com.
There it is.
NJ.
NJ.
Yes. Veterans Affairs.
Veteran.
Veteran. Singular. Veteran Affairs.
Veteran Affairs. I'm sure that'll be in the minutes. But I think it'll be a great idea if somebody knows it.
Thank you very much.
I believe that is it for me, Mayor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now, administrators.
Thank you, Mayor. A few things here. On February 28th, I attended the governor's annual budget briefing for fiscal year 2024. I think it was approximately $53 billion. A lot of details were provided. It was very insightful. The interior of the senior center, as was mentioned, will receive a fresh coat of paint. I believe that has already begun. The floor will also be stripped and waxed in April, long overdue. It'll look really nice when it's complete. On March 8th, I attended the Joint Insurance Fund, the JIF's CDL Entry Level Driver Training Resources Information Session via Zoom. Earlier today, I attended the Monmouth JIF Executive Committee meeting. Also earlier today, Verizon was on site at the harbor fixing the leaning pole in the parking lot next to Sissy's, per my request. This will be a multiple step process to insert the new pole, transfer utility components, and then remove the old pole.
But it wasn't a double pole. This was like just a dangerous pole.
This was a pole that was literally has three transformers on it. It's leaning like this.
But this will become a multiple pole situation, right?
For very briefly, and then it'll be removed.
No, but if you're a pole in Atlantic Highlands,
look out.
Watch out. There's a new
watch
sheriff.
Watch out for me. Yeah.
Especially if there's two of you.
I'm on watch. So that's that. Per my request, the borough engineering firm CME has submitted 7 2024 appropriations requests to the Office of Congressman Frank Pallone, which will be submitted to the House Appropriations Committee for consideration and inclusion in the fiscal year 24 appropriations budget. As you may recall, we submitted requests last year and were awarded $2.1 million for bulkhead repair in the municipal harbor. So we're cautiously optimistic that we're hopeful that we'll receive at least one more award with this latest batch that we're submitting. And we're thankful to the congressman for going to bat for the borough of Atlantic Highlands. Let's see here. Verizon was doing work this week on Route 36 on Memorial Parkway, installing fiber optic lines for the commercial customers in that corridor. And lastly here, the county has released their 2023 paper shredding dates and locations. This year's paper shredding begins with us, Atlantic Highlands, on March 25th in the Municipal Harbor parking lot from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. There is a limit per person, which is 100 pounds, which is equivalent to four office paper boxes or four large trash bags. This is a free service for Monmouth County residents only. No businesses are allowed to submit their paper shredding supplies. Other surrounding municipality dates include Oceanport on June 17th, Fairhaven on July 15th, Hazlet on August 19th, and Middletown on November 18th. Thank you in advance to DPW and the Police Department for assisting the county in this upcoming event. We do have flyers regarding that event. I believe we posted it online, but we also actually have flyers outside, I believe on the counter outside of the window there for folks. And that's it. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Don Wilmeyer.
Thank you, Mayor. As you may have noticed, the 22 municipal road program has resumed. Mm-hmm. The concrete crews are working right now next door on East Highland. They will wrap up their work on this block and then potentially move up the hill towards Mount Avenue. Resident notification letters will go out ahead of each of the work areas, so everybody is updated on the work. And then the paving crew will follow behind that. And once there's enough work completed to facilitate the mobilization of the miller and paver. So the work that you see on Wesley F, for example, at this point is not complete. It's just the concrete improvements at this point. Milling and paving will follow behind. With regards to Resolution 57 tonight, with now that we are authorized to proceed with East Garfield and Graham, I will coordinate with our survey department to get started right away. If you recall, that project is, the construction of that project is anticipated to be funded largely by two DOT municipal aid grants, a fiscal year 22 grant for approximately $251,000 and a fiscal year 23 grant for $219,000. So just under $500,000 in grant money is going towards that project, which consists of, on East Garfield, it's one block from Grand over to Central. That will include the water main replacement. So just be prepared for that. It'll be extensive construction to replace that water main. It's one of the most antiquated components within the borough's water system. And then moving over to Grand, just a block north of where the gas company stopped their paving adjacent to Route 36, the mill and overlay will take place from that point up towards the bridge as far as budgeting will permit. If you recall, the handicap ramps on Grand have been updated recently by way of CDBG grant. So this mill and overlay on that portion of the road will couple that concrete, complement that concrete work nicely. Thank you.
Mr. Rohmeyer, just to make a point of clarification, the streets that have been cracked around here, like Wesley and what have you, when they get repaved, when you're talking about the paving and the milling and all that, it's from one curb to the other, it's the full width of the street, correct? And that whatever stretch is being worked on?
Yes, so on Wesley, yes. On East Highland right here, it's only the curb. So you'll notice that the concrete crew had a subcontractor come out to saw cut the pavement nice and neatly, so that will rip out neatly. You'll have a nice edge for pavement restoration, so you won't see full pavement resto on East Highland, but Wesley, yes.
Which was recently done, and it's in good shape anyway, but on Wesley, so thank you for that.
Correct.
Unless you have peanut stones as curbs. They're not repairing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We did preserve a couple areas of peanut stone that had sufficient reveal in order to convey that guard flow. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Schaefer.
Thank you, Mayor. Nothing to report.
Oh, thank you.
What's the best report?
Okay, so moving on to public comment. How many people are on Zoom right now?
11 attendees. No answers.
No hands raised. Okay. And now
one
moving.
Hand raised.
Oh. Okay. Go ahead.
Ms. Sherman,
I'm Marilyn Sherpin, 55 Avenue D, and I'd like to say hello to all of you and tell you, excuse me, I just had an operation in my throat, a little raspy, I apologize. But I'd like to make you aware of the Atlantic Islands Arts Council, and while Atlantic Islands is doing a number of projects for Earth Month, we're very excited to have that sharing going on, showing the overlap of art and the environment. We have an opening reception for an art exhibition called The Garden State, Garden State, and it's going to be at the Arts Council on April 1st with a reception from 6 to 8, but we'll have many other items that are coming up. I want to encourage all of you who haven't done so to get your garden certified. It would be really, really great if we could have all 100 needed points for the National Wildlife Federation to certify us as a community wildlife by Earth Day. That would be a wonderful, wonderful number to achieve. And we're so close. Mrs. Smith last week got her garden certified and put us at number 87. So we are so close. I know the school is very interested. I think they'll be certifying soon. And they actually count for even more points than residents. And lastly, I would like to comment on something that was said by Mr. Krause and another item that was commented upon by Mr. Harmon last meeting. And that's about what you're probably going into executive session on, and that's Mother Teresa. I would like to encourage you to go for working with the county if possible for getting as much open space as possible for that property. I like the idea of retaining the gym, the Hess Center. I think it's a valuable asset. And lastly, if the diocese is so moved to allow them to finish up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Marilyn, where can somebody get an application to get their garden on that list?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. I have that written down here too, John. So it's on the National Wildlife Federation website. That's nwf.org. And it's /garden-for-wildlife/certified. And it's very, very easy. It's a $20 registration fee that goes to the National Wildlife Federation, but it's money well spent. They have a lot of resources for all of us. Thank you, John.
Yep, great.
Thank you.
And I promise I'll get our application in. We need to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it? Okay. So moving out here, please state your name and address. Here,
can make a comment.
Ariel Smith.
Ariel Smith.
Mm-hmm.
29 Leonard Avenue. And she's right, John. It's real easy to go get it. Marilyn goes to my house to make sure that my deck, which is on the second floor, can be certified as a wildlife habitat.
Oh, that's great.
So it works great. And my neighbor also, actually, he got his certified just ahead of me. But so we both got, so Leonard Avenue was doing its share. And I'm delighted, not that women need it, but it's very nice that women are being recognized with a special month. But women just do it anyway, so I don't know why we need a special month for it. But in the course of equality, are we having a special month to honor men as well? That's every day.
We're good.
I know you're good, but are you inferring that women aren't and that's why they need the month?
No, I'm saying we're good. Every other, yeah. You guys deserve it.
And I applaud you. It's not that I'm sticking up for Catholic construction by any stretch of the imagination, but I applaud you for your money for whatever you paid because of apparent inefficiencies on their part. But didn't this borough offer issue a certificate of occupancy for that building? And did we not have a project manager to oversee the construction of that building, the rehab of that building?
So I don't feel comfortable making any comments relative to the Tobo building because it's currently pending litigation. What I would say is if you do have questions, you're free to ask them at the Harbor Commission meeting directly to the chairman.
Okay. Aren't the certificates of occupancy issued by the borough?
Certificates of occupancy for the Borough of Atlantic Highlands are issued by the borough.
Okay. So was the certificate...
Ms. Smith, comments, not questions.
We do have...
I could ask a lot of questions of Mr. Jacoby, even though he wasn't here, but I was happy to see him.
That's true. We let him, because he was not present at the meeting when a lot of questions were being asked in the first instance involving that project, and it was a workshop. It's a whole different situation. And as I said to you, I don't need to be rude, but we do have office hours before these meetings, and we have Mr. Ferragina and the entire staff is available to you Monday through Friday, 9 to 4, with questions. Come here, give us, the council, your ideas and your suggestions, and we're more than happy. They are more than happy to take them under advisement. But coming here and asking questions, it's, first of all, if there are factual questions that Mr. Ferragina can answer easily, he will. But we're not going to discuss things that are matters of litigation. We're not, generally speaking, I've advised them to not be responding to questions, but to take the questions under advisement and get you answers if they can. So, again, trying to facilitate your inquiry and your concern as a citizen of Atlantic Highlands, we welcome it. We welcome comment in particular. And if you have questions, we're happy to answer them to the extent we can during office hours.
Ms. Shaker.
Yes.
I appreciate all that, and I know you had a tough time getting here tonight. I hope everyone's okay for a moment as well. But I know you're not from this area, and I know that you don't know the town as well as, say, a lot of people here, including myself, know it. But, and you don't know me, but for, I would guess, the best part of 60 years anyway, I have been coming to Atlantic Highlands Council meetings. I've been coming to Harbor Commission meetings. I've been coming to a lot of meetings in Atlantic Highlands. And all I do is ask questions because, like I said last meeting, the only way I know how to learn is to ask questions. I don't know how to learn otherwise. I've been doing it all my life. And by the way, Atlantic Highlands has set the precedent for me to do this because I have asked questions at just about every meeting I've gone to or immediately after the meeting.
And it has not gone unnoticed. I've been here at several meetings, so I know you like to ask questions. But I'm suggesting that there really is a more efficient way to have this happen. You're coming up here answering questions. If there are questions you have, send emails to Mr. Ferragina. We will get you answers to any question you have. And then we will be happy to take under, council will be happy to take under advisement any comments you have, because you have lived in this community for a long time. I'm getting to know
the community for a long time.
You have not?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe you and I know as much about the community.
No. You're correct on that. I know more about the community than
okay. All right. I'm happy to learn about the community to the extent I have to. My job is to understand the law and to also try to make these meetings productive, both for the council members who have to make decisions about what they can do to enhance the experiences of people who live in the community, without being, barraged with things that are going to take a very long time and not necessarily get you the response that you want. We want to get you the right answer at the right time. So please ask the questions of Mr. Ferragina, and we will get you answers.
It would have taken less time for Mr. Ferragina
than for me to just say what I said, yes.
Right.
Except he's not going to answer that question.
Except that the precedent has been set here, and for every other borough attorney prior to you, back to, I guess Bud Salem was the first one I remember, maybe long before that, but I do remember Bud particularly, but every attorney since then has listened to the right of the people. Thomas Jefferson would be astounded to hear that there's an attorney that's not letting somebody ask questions and speak up.
We are letting you speak up. It's very clear that the rule requiring open public meetings encourages you to show up and tell us what you think and what you care about and what is going on and what concerns you have. What it doesn't allow for is constant back and forth, because the questions are available from the staff. The staff can answer some of the questions. Some of the questions are not going to be answered because of litigation matters. Some of the questions can't be answered. So it's just, this is just not the right forum. Nobody's saying, and maybe all the other lawyers, I represent a lot of towns and my firm represents a lot of towns, and I can tell you that this period of time is a comment period, not a question and answer repartee.
Pardon? Excuse me.
Precedent has made the difference in Atlantic Highlands. If I don't know about all these other towns, I've only covered maybe 8 of them. One of those 8, all of them in Monmouth County, as well as the Monmouth County Board of Freedom.
Thank you. So I understand that you don't like this rule, but that's what I do.
I think precedent is what it stands for.
Well, fine. Thank you. Mayor and council will decide at some point in time.
And Mr. Ferragina, terribly sorry, but I heard the attorney tell me that I should ask you questions. Sorry for that. Mr. Ferragina, in fairness, just so nobody thinks that I'm criticizing him, is absolutely terrific at answering questions and coming about it very speedily. I don't know how he gets all the work done for all you people that you can't tell us about and still answer all of my questions.
I appreciate that.
Thank you kindly, and sorry, but you know you're going to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Michael Scannon, 6500 Avenue. 2 weeks ago at this meeting, the people in attendance were discouraged to ask questions by members of the council. We were told repeatedly that the public comment portion of the meeting was for comments only, not for questions. Each meeting of this council has begun in the same fashion, the reading of the Sunshine Statement, also known as the Open Public Meeting Law. Within this written law states, a public meeting is one held by a public body at any level of government, state, county, or local, with the intent to discuss or act as a body on public business. So I went further to define the word discussion, to find that the definition is a conversation or debate about a certain topic or consideration of a question in open and usually informal debate. So my question is, how do we engage in discussion while being discouraged to ask questions? How else are our questions going to be answered? You are elected to handle town business and provide the answers. Instead, it seems like a form of a denial of our First Amendment rights. I'm not going to stop asking questions, and I encourage everyone to keep asking theirs. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
Paul Marbado, 22 Lowry Road. I don't have a question. I'm going to make a statement. And it's short. I put in a note for a request for the legal fees for the attorney who's working on the regionalization. I don't want any documents. I just wanted to know the amount of money from the start, from 4 years ago when this is all going on, to find out exactly how much he's charging us. I know it's $150 an hour, but for 4 years over that, I think it's going to be a sum of money. Now, I just want to say that I'm going to put in another whole one. But maybe I have to get a lawyer to define how to get the amount. So I would appreciate, and I got to say, Ms. Clark has been wonderful, she's been very helpful, but he's putting her through extra work. I didn't need a whole examination for 3 pages of an email telling me that it won't be honored. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so
I do not see any more hands up, so I'd like to give a motion in a second to adjourn.
No executive.
No. Crowley moves.
Call us 30 seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.